there's a dread that comes with this, and it's not of standing before you, but just that I will fail the Lord and won't be able to get where he needs me to get. So I know you want to hear the gospel, and I do too, but the only way we're going to hear it is if you'll pray. And this may be a little different this morning. I may call on you, and if I call on you, just help me out, all right? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's where we'll stop reading right there. This verse came to us earlier in the week. Notice the first four words of verse 9. But we see Jesus. What do you see? If you look into the world, you'll see the world telling you that the sin that you're living in is okay. That you're all right just like you are. The little lies that you have been telling are not going to hurt anybody. The world will tell you that the alcohol or the pills that you've been taking, they're just to make you feel better for a little while, and that's not hurting anybody. They won't show you your family that's broken. They won't show you your home that's falling apart. They won't show you the pain and the anguish that you've caused your family and yourself. Take a look at the world today. If you look at the world today, it'll tell you that the adultery that people do, that they're living in, is all right and it don't hurt anybody. That's contrary to God's word. Take a look at the world today. There's anger. There's bitterness. There's hatred. We got a war going on right now by two groups of people that have hated each other almost since the dawn of time. That's what the world wants you to see. But you're here today and you have peace in your heart. And you can face tomorrow because you see Jesus. Amen. But we see Jesus. So I don't know where else to start but the beginning. And let's take a look. But we see Jesus. So you pray for just a little while. McKinley, you care to come help me? Isaac, come on, you can come too. We read, over in the first chapter of Luke, I believe it is, where the angel spoke to a virgin and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And Mary wondered what kind of salutation this could be. He said, "You shall conceive and bring forth a son, and he shall sit on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary was espoused to Joseph. She had never known a man. She said, "How can these things be?" He said, "I've never known a man." And the angel said, "The glory of the highest shall overshadow thee, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and that thing that's conceived in thee shall be the Son of God, and his name shall be called Jesus." And then we read over in Matthew where Joseph was sitting privately in thought. He knew the situation they were in. He knew that Mary was with child and it wasn't of his. And he thought about just putting her away privately so not to cause any shame or anything like that. Did you catch that? The world says it's all right. But Joseph lived in a time where a woman that wasn't wed shouldn't be with child. And he was concerned and he was tore up on the inside. And he had a dream. He was asleep and he had a dream and an angel came to him in a dream and he said, "Fear not, Joseph, to take thee Mary to be thy wife, for that thing that's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And here's the best part. His name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. Now let's go on down for just a little while. Come on, Mary and Joseph. You've got to go down to Bethlehem of Judea to pay your taxes. And they got down there to the innkeeper. Come on, let's go over here to the innkeeper. And Joseph was trying to do right by his little family. And he went to the innkeeper and he looked for a room and the innkeeper had bad news for him, didn't he? He said, "There's no room." And the world says there's no room for Jesus today. But I thank God when I was a little 8-year-old boy, I made room for him right in here. All right, come on. You've got to find a place for this. For your wife and for the child that's going to be born. So we wound up here in this little barn in Bethlehem. And while they're there at the barn, there are shepherds abiding in the field. You know who a good shepherd makes? Preacher Ben, stand up for just a minute. There were shepherds, one over here in that field, one over here in this field, one over here in this field, one over here in that field, abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the glory of the Lord showed about them. The angel appeared to them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, for I've got good tidings of great joy." Oh, you might be just a little simple shepherd out here in the field, but I've got good news for you. For a Savior is born. Good news for you. Your life might have been hard. It might have been lonesome while you were tending to the sheep. But I've got good news for you. A Savior is born. from the east. So come on over, wise man. Get with the rest of these wise men. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. And Herod didn't know. You think our president knows? You think our congressman knows? Now you're about to go too far, preacher. What's coming out of that place up there? Bitterness and hatred and anger? Is that of God? And I'll probably never shake the president's head. I'll probably never meet a congressman. But I have known a few wise men along life's way. The fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom. They were looking for him. It's a busy world we live in. There's lots of things to consume our time and try to draw us away. But a wise man still looks for Jesus. Where is he? We've seen his star. We've come to worship him. And they searched and they looked back and they said, in Bethlehem is where he's supposed to be born. And the king, Herod, he said, when you find him, come back and tell me that I may go and worship him also. I'm sorry, Herod, that's not how it works. If you want him, you have to seek for him yourself.
That's right.
And you'll find him when you want him with all your heart. And they followed the star until they came, and the star stood over the place where he was. And they presented unto him gold. That's okay, John, just reach it right there. They presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. They might have felt like they didn't have much in this life, but they gave him the very best that they had. You may feel like you might not have much to give him in this life, but if you give him the very best that you have, God will accept it, and he'll accept you. It still takes a wise person to search for Jesus. They fell down on their knees and offered him what they had, and they worshiped. And God warned them, didn't he, to go and depart another way and not go back Herod's way. All right, just a little farther. All right, come on, we got to go down to the temple. There at the temple, they brought the child down as the custom was to be circumcised on the eighth day. And there was a fella that had been in the temple nonstop. He'd been right there waiting. What are you here for? Are you waiting on him? They wrapped the babe in swaddling clothes, didn't they? Here, Mary, there's your baby. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And when they got down there to the temple, Mary took that child and she laid it in Simeon's arms. Simeon said, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have what they look for, but We see Jesus. Remind us, have seen thy salvation. What a day when you saw Jesus. We got to go one more place, Mary, get your baby. And there was a woman named Anna. She was a widow of about 84 years that stayed in the temple continuously. And what a joy it was when she got to hold and see the salvation of God. She held it in her arms, the little baby Jesus. What a thrill. I had a thrill the night that he touched me, and I've still got him in my heart. What a great day it is to see Jesus. All right, you take him on. It's about 12 years before we find out about him again, so you go take him back home. You go take him back home. And then about 12 years later, we read where they were going down as the manor was. And when they got done doing what they were supposed to do, they headed back down the road. And all of a sudden they said, where is Jesus? He's 12 years old. He ought to be right here with us. And when they couldn't find him, they searched for him diligently. Went a day's journey back in and searched for him diligently. And when they found him, when they found him, there he was in the temple breaking down God's word. And they said, how could this little old child, you know why he could do it? Because he was the author. He was the one that wrote the book. That's how he knew what was inside of it. Now that's the part we like to see about Jesus. Oh, I'm doing good. You're not even hungry yet. All right. Have you seen this Jesus? The one that when the blind man was sitting down there and he cried out for Jesus, he hadn't been able to see his whole life, but he cried out for Jesus, and Jesus spat on the ground and made spittle, took and rubbed on the blind man's eyes, and he said, now you go and you wash in the pool of Siloam. If he'd have sat right there, he'd have never seen nothing. Amen. If you sit right where you're at, you'll never see nothing. If you're comfortable sitting in the muck and the mire, you never will get out. But if you'll make an effort to get to Jesus, you'll get to see him.
Amen.
The man went and washed in the pool of Siloam and came back seeing. Now there's more in this than I'll ever preach out. The Pharisees questioned him. They couldn't understand. They even pulled his mom and daddy in and said, is this your child that was blind? How is it now that he sees? They said, he's of age, asked him. And they pulled him in there. And he said, why, herein is a marvelous thing. You say you don't know him, and yet he made me to see.
Amen.
And they cast him out of the temple. And I'm sure he got discouraged. I'm sure he was a little downtrodden. I'm sure his heart was broken. But you know who he met? He met Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus said, how is it that you could see? He said, this man came and rubbed spittle on my eyes, and I went and washed and came forth seeing. And I don't know how, but I can see. And Jesus said, it is I, and it's I. Now listen, he might have been able to see your pink dress or your blue shirt, but when Jesus spoke to him, his vision was clear. When Jesus spoke to him, his spiritual eyes were open, and he knew that he had met a Savior. For the first time, he saw Jesus. Have you seen this Jesus that when the woman had the issue of blood and she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And she came forth. She might have got stepped on. She might have got knocked down. She might have got bruised. She might have got wounded. But she had a determination in her heart to get to Jesus. My faith can make you whole. Did you know that? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And she reached and just got a hold barely in the bottom of the garment. And immediately the issue of blood was resolved. When you see Jesus, he can solve your problems immediately. Amen. Have you seen that Jesus? Have you seen that Jesus that whenever you feel like you're at the end of your rope, everybody's tried to help you. They might have locked you up. They might have tried counseling. They might have tried chaining you down. And you just run anyway, hurt yourself in spite of the best efforts of everybody you know. Have you seen that Jesus? And the first time Legion saw him, he said, I pray thee torment me not. I've got all I can handle. I can't do anymore. Please don't put anything else on me. I pray thee, torment me not. But when he saw Jesus, that legion that he had in him was cast into the swine. It was so vile, it was so violent, that herd ran violently down the hill and into the sea and was drowned. 2,000 swine. It was such an event that people from out of the city came to see when the keeper of the swine went and told them. Such an event. But they saw something that got their attention that made them wonder much more than them 2,000 dead swine floating in the sea. They saw a fellow that had run naked in the tombs, that had cut himself, that they had tried to help, and he just, what you'd say was crazy. He's one of those that you didn't want your children around. But there was something different about him. He was clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. And Satan may say there's no hope for your loved one. Satan may say they've gone too far. Death is going to help them now, but he's a liar and the father of it. All they need to do is just get a glimpse of Jesus. I could tell you about Jairus' daughter. I could tell you about him raising the dead. I could tell you about him making the lame to walk. Have you seen that Jesus? So what I'm asking you is, who are you looking to when trouble comes your way? Are you looking here or are you looking up there? Amen. David said, I will look into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Where are you looking to? Where could I go but to the Lord? Have you seen that Jesus? Have you stepped and went plumb down to the bottom and it's up over your head? You been there? Where'd you look to? Did you try to work it out for yourself? Or did you look to that Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? But we see Jesus. I believe you're going to give me another 10 minutes or 15 anyway, won't you? All right. 3 years ago, the world went crazy. The virus is just going to wipe us out. We better lock ourselves in our houses and not come out. And the little church, the real church, wanted to stay together anyway. And people didn't understand that. We can't catch that stuff at Food City or Walmart. But God help us if we go to church. Really? Now, I'm not foolish. But I do know this, a lot of people failed to look in the right place for the answer. But we see Jesus. The line of that song says, "Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been." We used to sing a song, "He is everything to me." And I'll not, but I could go into times that I know the Lord brought me out of trouble. The waves were over my head, but the Lord spoke peace. When He speaks peace, the storm will cease. When He speaks peace, I'll have comfort in my heart. The storm may be more than I can handle, but He's the one that can cause it to stop. But we see Jesus. Are you looking at the waves, Peter? Well, there you go. Storm in the fourth watch of the night, and the disciples were afraid, and they saw Jesus come walking on the water. They were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. Are you looking at the ghost, or are you looking at who He is? It might be the Holy Ghost. You ever thought about that? And the Lord said, "It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou," listen to what he wanted to do, "bids me come unto thee." And Peter went down out of the ship, walking on the water to get to Jesus. That's impossible, preacher. When you're trying to get to Jesus, nothing is impossible. Amen. And what Jesus say? "Come. Come unto me. All." He didn't call me out. He didn't say, "There's somebody more important with more money than you are, Mike. You better sit back in the line and wait your turn." I'm glad in the midnight hour, when there's trouble in my life, when there's trouble in your life, when there's trouble in your life, when there's trouble in your life, He can answer everybody's prayer at the same time. I don't have to wait in line. I've got a friend, Jesus, that sticketh closer than a brother. Why? I don't look to Him more often. I'll never understand. He's the one that's got all the answers. But we see Jesus. All right. We got two more places to go and I'll be done. He did all those miracles. And the Pharisees said, "We can't have that." And you know what they did. Now let's be careful. Let's not be like Judas. Judas walked with Him. Judas talked with Him. Judas saw the miracles that He did. And he never saw Him. But we see Jesus. But you know what? Judas never saw Him. You know what Judas did? He betrayed Jesus with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. Did you know you can sit right in a church house and betray the Lord? Amen. Did you know you can sit on your seat that you claim is your pew from now until the judgment day and die and go to hell? Amen. Did you know because you see, friend, it's not about who preaches. It's not about who sings. It's not about who plays. It's not about who teaches. It's not about who talks. if it's done right, everything that's done in the service should be all about Him. Should be all about Jesus. Because you know what He promised this church? He said, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." So we see Jesus sitting before Pilate. He said, Jesus didn't answer his question. He said, "Don't you know thy power to crucify thee or power to release thee?" And Jesus said, "Thou can have no power at all except my Father give it thee which is in heaven." And he searched and tried his best to find fault in him. When you really examine Jesus, you'll find there's no fault in him at all. And he took a bowl of water and he went out to the Jews and he washed his hands to show that he was clean of this man's blood. And he said, "Will you have Barabbas, a guilty man, a man there was no doubt had committed the crimes, or will you have Jesus?" And they said, "Away with him, give us Barabbas." Are you seeing Jesus or are you saying away with him? Because you can't have it both ways. We've got enough fence riders. And you know what you're doing? As long as you're sitting on the fence, you're not going anywhere. You're not accomplishing anything. And so Pilate sent him and they scourged him. Are you taking a look now? Because this is not the baby in the manger anymore. This is the man who's getting the blood cut out of him. This is the man who, when they crack the whip, they're tearing the flesh from his body. A whip that's got pieces of bone, pieces of rock, whatever they can find to inflict pain. And they crack that whip and they jerk it back and it jerks the flesh off of his back and off of his body. Are you seeing Jesus now? When the Roman soldiers have cruelly woven a crown of thorns, you know why he had to wear that crown? I'm the reason. You're the reason. And they shoved that crown down on his head. And the thorns brought the blood. And the blood trickled down his cheeks and off his chin. And each drop of blood, I'm the reason that he had to suffer. My sin that had to be paid. Your sin had to be paid for. And it still does. And if you never turned it over to him, you're still in charge of it. You'll have to pay for it. And the only way that you can escape that awful death, that awful place called hell, is to look for Jesus. Are you still stuck at the manger? Have you made it to the cross? What are you seeing? There he is. They blindfolded him and smote him and said, "Prophesy. Tell us who it is that hit you." He was beat about the head with a reed, with a stick. Are you looking at him? Because I believe about this point, if you could see him physically, it'd be hard to look at him. The blood that was there, the wounds on him, the bruises. Isaiah 53, "But he was wounded." Why? "For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement." You know what chastisement is? That's a whipping. "The chastisement of our peace." We can lay down in our beds tonight with peace in our heart because he took the beating for our sin. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." And you know the only way we escape that awful stuff called sin? By his stripes. We are healed. Are you looking at him now? Because it's not a pretty sight.
Are you looking at him now? He's wounded and bruised and beaten, and he's making his way up Calvary's hill, trying his best with that old big cross. And the cross wasn't what was weighing him down. It was your sin, my sin. The weight of the sin of the world was on this man. And I could see him just about stumbling along, just about to fall. So they went and compelled one Simon and said, come on. And no doubt he didn't want to. No doubt he was afraid he'd been linked to this man that the Romans hated, that the Jewish religious crowd hated. But they compelled him to come and carry the cross of Jesus. And I could just see old Simon, and he picked up the cross as Jesus staggered along. And Simon got the cross and he stamped in Jesus' bloody footprints. Help me, Lord, to follow in your footprints. Are you looking at Jesus now? Because he's not as pretty as that babe in a manger, is he? Are you looking at Jesus now when Simon lays the cross down and Jesus just falls over on it? Are you looking at him now when the big Roman soldiers takes that nail? I don't know about you, but I don't even enjoy a splinter, do you? They drove a nail in his hand, and it wasn't a finished nail, you carpenters. It was a big nail, a big spike. It was big enough to hold his weight. They drove it. Can you hear the hammer ring against the top of the nail? As they're driving it and it pierces the flesh and the blood comes out and runs down his arm. Yeah. All the way through. Now the Bible don't say, but he had to be in pain. He had to be in agony. Yeah. And then they go to the other side and they take that hand. Can you hear the hammer ring while the nails being driven through his hands? Then they put his feet and they drive nails through his hands and his feet. Then they stand the cross up and they drop it down in the hole. And his whole body thuds as it hits the ground. And there is Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Why was he there? Because you and I had sinned to pay for, and the only one that could pay it was Jesus. How can he pay it, preacher? Because he had no sin. He knew no sin. He was a sacrifice for you and I so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. I could tell you about how they offered him vinegar. I could tell you about the thieves on the cross. But I'm going to go here where he said, it is finished. Yeah. And bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now I can just see him slump. Yeah. Can you see Jesus hanging on the cross right now? Yeah. And there's his mama. She's aged a few years. It's 33 years later. And there's Jesus' mama. Remember all those things she pondered in her heart when the shepherds was there? I'm sure they were raging way down deep inside of her. And her heart was broken because there was her child hung on the cross. If you think her heart was broken, I wish you could take a look at his father. It was so bad, he couldn't look. He turned away. And the sun refused to shine from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. I believe he was in pain and agony as well. Oh, the last thing parents can stand is to see one of their children suffer, isn't it? Yeah. And here he is, this man Jesus. Do you see him?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. And ours. His followers, his disciples. And we read just a few minutes later, we read about the third and appointed morning when Mary and Mary Magdalene run down. And how are we going to roll the stone away? We loved him. We followed him.
How? We'd like to do something to honor him. How are we going to even get to him? That stone is so big. I don't know what we're going to do to even do that. But when they got down there, they saw an angel. The stone was rolled away, and an angel sat on it. And he spoke to Mary, and he said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. You don't have to worry about them aloes. You don't have to worry about that linen you were going to wrap him in. He don't need it. He's not here anymore. Do you see now? He's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Now let me tell you something else. You may not acknowledge this preaching that I've done to you this morning. You may not acknowledge that it's the gospel. You may reject it. You may say what foolishness. You may turn it away. But one day you will see Jesus. Now you're not an authority preacher. You don't have any scientific evidence. I've got the King James Version Bible that says every eye shall see him. Well, preacher, what about these folks that don't believe in him? It says there is no God. A fool has said in his heart there is no God. And you know what they'll do? They'll see Jesus. You know what all our important men, our kings and mighty men, our presidents and all that, you know what they'll do? They'll see Jesus. You know what our drunkards and our murderers and our liars, our extortioners, our adulterers will do? They'll see Jesus. Every eye shall see him, even the one that pierced him in the side. And more than that, and I'm about done, you better see him before that it's too late. If the Lord is knocked at your heart and he's dealing with your heart right now, you better seek after him with all your heart. Because if you wait until he splits the eastern sky, if you wait, because you're not only going to see him, he's going to talk to you. And if you've seen him before that day, he'll say, "You've been faithful over a few things." And I'm glad it's just a few. You've been faithful over a few things. Life's been hard. But you made it.
That's right. Amen.
You've had some heartaches, but you were faithful. You made it. I've been away, prepared a place for you. You've had heartache. You've had pain. Enter in. Come on home. We're going to a perfect place. You know when we're going to do that? When we see Jesus coming in glory. What a day. I thought of that song this morning while we were singing in congregational singing. What a day that will be when my Jesus. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see him when I look upon his face. The one that saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day. Glorious day that will be. You know which day that will be? That'll be the last day. Because the sun will never said it'll shine for all eternity. And I'm not talking about the S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. We'll just bask in his glory for all eternity. You know why? Because one day on my knees on an altar, I said, "Jesus, please save me." And for the first time, I saw Jesus. Guess what? He's here today. You can see him right now if you want to. You don't have to die and go to hell. Hell's an awful place. You know what you need for peace in your heart? You know what you need to escape that awful place called hell? You know what you need to go to heaven when this life is over? You need to see Jesus. But if you wait till that day and you've never made an attempt to see him, the first words you're ever going to, you know what he did tonight I got saved? He called me. He called me. He said, "You're empty." He called me.
He said, you need me. He called me. He said, you don't want to die and go to hell. He called me, and I answered. And he's calling you this morning, isn't he? He's calling you. Are you going to answer him? Because if you wait until he comes back on the clouds, and you've never made an effort to see Jesus, he's going to talk to you too. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. People get angry whenever folks get jobs and promotions and things like that, and they'll say, well, they must have known somebody. Guess how I'm getting to heaven? I know somebody. I saw Jesus. And he said, yes, son, I'll save you too. He will save you too if you want him. I am 57. I've been in church ever since they carried me in like the little baby, like McKinley was carrying my jacket, pretending to be the baby a few minutes ago. Been in church all my life. Some of you have too. Have you ever seen the Lord turn somebody away and say no? In all my days, here's evidence for you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, I can't quote this exactly, but I believe it says, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Do you want him or don't you? Because this is not a half-hearted stuff. He wants your whole heart. He wants you to commit. He wants you to give all of yourself to him. Christians want to argue, and I was aggravating Willard yesterday. He had something he was going to get $3 for, and I said, well, bring that 30 cents back. But you know what? The Lord don't want 10%, and he don't really want your money. I believe that he'll tell you what you need to give. But I'm going to tell you this. He wants all of you. He wants every waking minute that you've got to be devoted to worshiping and praising him. He wants every thought that you have to be around lifting up his name. Well, preacher, how can I enjoy life like that? He is our joy. He is our peace. We used to sing this song. If it wasn't for the Lord, what would I do? And the last line says, he is everything to me. The verse says he's water in dry places. He's food in a starving land. He's my rock of ages, and he holds me by the hand. Though all the world forsake me, right by my side he'll stand. He's everything to me. Ain't it about time you trusted in somebody that could do something for you? Amen. Let me tell you something. You may call me, and my phone be tore up. Or I may have misplaced it and not know that you called. You may call mom and dad or brother or sister and them not realize that you called. But Jesus is nigh to them that have a broken heart and will save such as be of a contrite spirit. A little more, is that okay? If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Now we can see it and you can ignore. And you can talk to him on the last day, or you can see him today if you want to. You know what his office hours is? Anytime your heart is broken, that's when you can talk to him. Come on, Grady. Play just a verse. I'm going to give you a chance to meet him. May I introduce you to this friend of mine that hangs out the stars and tells the sun when to shine.
kisses the flowers each morning with you, but he's not too busy to care about you. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
How about you? Have you got a Heavenly Father? Have you got a Savior? Have you seen Jesus? Do you know him? Would you like to? Today is a good day to trust in him. You might have been like Peter. You might have seen him at one time, but you turned your eyes away and paid attention to the waves and the wind, and you already started to seek. Don't you want to see Jesus? Don't you want to put your eyes on him? Cast it all, your cares on him, for he careth for you. I'm telling you today, Jesus can help you if you'll trust him. Church, come on and pray. You may be here and you just not trusted him yet. I'm telling you today, you need to see Jesus. You don't have to try to get fixed up. You don't have to try to clean up. Don't worry about it. The blood can wash your sins away. Trust him and call on his name, and he can make you whole. Where are you today? How long has it been since you tried to reach him? How long has it been since you've talked to him? If it's been a while, you need to talk to him. You need to tell him. You know what? My wife's sitting right back there, but if I never went to see her, if I never told her I love her, she wouldn't know. So I like to see Jesus every once in a while just to say I love you. And you know what? Even when I'm cold and away from him, my eyes are somewhere else, he doesn't cast me aside. He doesn't throw me out. He still loves me, and he loves you too. Oh, you know how close you are to seeing him this morning? One step away. Somebody else need to pray. Now's a good time.